So this morning, we're going to be hearing from a couple of people today, and they're going to be sharing their testimonies. We at Grace Church, we love this time of year. We get to hear about from just normal, regular people in Grace Church, what God has done in their life over the past year. We're going to be hearing from a variety of people, from young to old. I'm not going to go into too many other categories, but we're going to be hearing from a wide variety of people, and we believe it's so good to hear what God is doing in the lives of these people. It builds my faith personally, but also we can hear how people's lives have been impacted. You might hear about how people have gone through a really tricky time over this year, and they've just felt support and comfort and help from those people in the church. Other scenarios you might hear about are that just some good stuff's been happening in their life, and it's so good to share all those good things that are happening in people's lives. You might hear that they have come through some tricky stuff, but it wasn't the church that was supporting them, but they just felt God there with them, God being faithful to them, God being a comfort to them. So we might hear just a variety of different types of stories. And I know it's really nice to hear these stories. They're good to hear. They're good to that. I enjoy them. But there is more to them. We do a morning like this because what it does is it fixes our eyes on God. We're not just hearing a story just because it's a nice story. We are hearing these stories this morning because it fixes our eyes on God and his power and his glory and his mercy to us. And it would be silly to ignore that and see what God's character is like within that. Ephesians 3:20 says this: "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever." So before these people come and speak, I just want to point you to a few things that they might, as they talk, they might be pointing to you about bits of God's character or bits about God. And so one of them is that God is powerful. God is powerful. He is all powerful. I know that I'm hoping that the people that speak to you this morning, they will come and dazzle you with their wit and their eloquence. But to be honest, they're ordinary people. And some of their stories are quite ordinary as well. But you know what? They are telling a story about an extraordinary God. That's what they're talking about. They are sharing stories from their own lives about the work that God, who does extraordinary things, has done in their lives. It said in that verse I just read, according to his power that is within us. It is God's power that is doing the work in their lives. They're ordinary people, but God is doing the work within their lives. And God wants this morning to reveal to you, as they're talking and as they're sharing, God wants to reveal to you that he can do work with his power in your life as well. So you might not be a Christian this morning, and God can work in your life too. You might be new to Christianity. God can work in your life too. God has got power to do that, and he wants to reveal that to you. And we're going to do that by looking at what these people are going to be sharing. Not only is God powerful, but he also is glorious. We were singing it this morning about how glorious God is. It says, to him be glory in the church. John Piper defines glory like this. It's a really useful and helpful way of defining it. The glory of God is the infinite beauty and greatness of God's manifold perfections. The infinite beauty, and I am focusing on the manifestation of his character and his worth and his attributes. All of his perfections and greatness are beautiful as they are seen. And there are many of them. That's why I use the word manifold. This is so helpful to think that what's being spoken about this morning, they are just numerous, those manifold, numerous demonstrations of God's glory. That's what's being shown today. His glory and his radiance and his beauty, it emanates from all that he is, but it also emanates from all that he does. God does stuff. So all these people that are sharing, don't get distracted by the story itself, but see what it shows about the character of God and his glory. Yeah, his glory in these stories, they demonstrate from generation to generation. We're hearing stories from different generations. And God can work and show his glory through any generation and any person. And finally, God is a God who does stuff. God does stuff. Yeah, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine. His glory and his power that has been at work in the lives of these people, it can be yours as well. These testimonies this morning, they will resonate an element of his mercy and his goodness and his faithfulness to people. All these testimonies, they are true, not only the situations that they're talking about, but also they are true about God's character. They're true about who God is. They are events or moments that have happened in people's lives, and they demonstrate the trueness and true faithfulness of Jesus. And this morning is all about what God does. These are stories about what God does and what God has done in people's lives. The people this morning, they are giving evidence. They are making statements. They're recounting stories of God's true, unconditional love. So I'm gonna hand over to someone now. I'm gonna hand over to Alice. Alice, she helps in our Sparklers groups. Sparklers, right? And she's been here four-ish years. And so she just wants to share with you a little bit about what God's done in her life over this year in relation to your job.
Hello. So there are many parts of 2019 which I could share with you today, moments where I felt out of my depth, very blessed, or sometimes just downright confused. But I'm here today to tell you how, despite the circumstances, the many highs and lows, how God, my Father, has seen me through again and again. How through the journey of 2019, he's taught me many things. In particular, I learned that he is in control. I finished university in May this year, studying primary teaching. And I always expected some kind of graduate crisis. However, I never thought that it would include such a struggle to find a teaching job. All you ever hear on the news is that teachers are dropping like flies, yet it seemed that I was having door after door shut in my face with a parting comment that you interviewed well, we just chose the more experienced teacher this time. Initially, I felt relatively peaceful about the situation, but as my friends secured jobs, time passed by, and the council websites went from 10 pages of advertisements down to 2, I began to doubt God's plan for my life. I felt increasingly uncomfortable about which direction I was heading and for how long would I be hanging in limbo for answers. Surely this can't be right. How could a good God plan for me to face this rejection? What if I never get a job? Will I have to move back home? To name just a few questions I was asking. Despite slowly losing faith for the situation, I was and am fortunate to be surrounded by an amazing community and family of fellow Christians here at Grace Church. In the thick of the job hunt, I found myself at an Encounter Holy Spirit evening where God comforted me with a picture in my mind, clear as day, of Jesus standing right in front of me. As my eyes strained to see past him, he simply said, "Look at me." I realised that I had lost focus of who was leading me and planning for me in love. Someone from church encouraged me that God has the best plan and that nothing is impossible for him. The songs we sung only continued to challenge me as I sang, "I will put my trust in you alone and I will not be shaken." It wasn't until late July that a job in a nursery came up in Havant, an area I was drawn to after a school placement there at the beginning of the year. It kind of fitted with my future dream of working within the nursery world, and it wasn't completely random, yet at the same time felt a bit backwards to what I imagined to be doing. It wasn't exactly a teaching job, but despite my hesitation and slight desperation, I decided to push the door. Looking back, I can see that God gave me small glimpses of hope throughout it all. A particularly significant moment happened to be when I visited my sister's church in Bristol. Someone prayed for me for clarity in this week, and guess what? The next week I got the job at the nursery. I was relieved to have any job at this point, but I believe that God sees the bigger picture. I started the job in September, and although initially I found the job a challenge, it even felt like I'd taken a backward step at times. God was teaching me to walk in obedience to him and believe that I was exactly where I should be. I can stand here today and tell you that I love my job, and sometimes, of course, it's still difficult. But I'm so grateful for God's provision, and I have a different perspective on life and the promises of God because of the challenges I face. I still can't tell you exactly why I'm where I am or what's in store next, but I can tell you that there is someone greater who does know, who has my best interests at heart, and that gives me ultimate comfort, joy, and hope. And I'll end with some lyrics from a song which basically declare the act of surrendering it all to God. That I give you my heart, and I give you my dreams, and I lay it all down for my beautiful King. Everything that I do, everything you've given me, I give it back to you for your glory.
Brilliant. Thanks, Alice. Unfortunately, not everyone who wanted to share this morning was around, so we have got Quint. Quint has to work every other Sunday, so unfortunately can't be here this morning, so we got him on video. So we're going to just watch a quick video. Quint's going to share a story that's just happened in his life over this year, and hopefully it'll build your faith as well. So yeah, do be open and ready to hear from him.
Good morning. For those that don't know me, my name's Quinton Woods, and obviously I attend the Bognor site. Just here to tell you a little bit about myself and my story. A few years ago, I found out my wife was cheating on me. Subsequently, my dad got paralysed or became paralysed. My brother died and my mother died. I found life was getting on top of me and I was struggling to put one foot in front of the other. I had two wonderful girls, which obviously I still do now, and they became my rock, my foundation. But I started turning to the bottle. I would go to work normally, come home, drink until I probably fell asleep on a continuous basis. You know, my life didn't seem very good. I was lashing out at people, I was lashing out at the world. I just, become not a very nice person, unfortunately. And I hurt a few people. I obviously regret a lot of things I've been and done. Subsequently, because of how I was feeling, depression, anxiety, and the effects of the alcohol, I ended up losing my job, which was a bit of a wake-up call. And subsequently, after that, obviously found a new job, fresh start, started to evaluate my life. And I came to Grace Church 3.5-4 years ago and found God in my life. And I recently have seen a picture or an image of a father and son building team. And that's what I felt that my life with God was like. Me and God together were rebuilding my house. My house was built on sandy shores originally, and slowly, with God's help, I've been underpinning my house section by section, and I feel that my life has got rosy again. And with God, I the anxiety, the depression, my life is getting fulfilled. It's an amazing transformation. I look back and see the changes in myself and the changes in my family and my children. I can't change the past. I can't change what I've been through. But I'm now looking forward to the future. With God in my life, it's amazing, you know. I just think about things and more. I challenge myself. I'm less hasty to just blast in and play devil's advocate in a conversation. I think about people's thoughts and reactions and trying to become a more of a caring person. So so God has made an amazing transformation with me, and I'm so grateful to be part of Grace Church and the family and the friends that you are to us all. And I'm just amazed by the awe of it, and the peace and tranquility that I feel inside now is amazing. And this wasn't me a few years ago, and with God in my life, I'm amazing. I'm an ostrich burying my head in God's sand, and it feels good.
It's so good to hear from Quint. Like, that is just hearing his story, that is not what you imagine when you speak to Quinton now, what he's like. It's just phenomenal what God can do. Next, we've got Dan and Amy. Dan and Amy are fairly new to Grace Church. Come on, that's fine. Okay, come on. They're fairly new to Grace Church. They recently moved here, but they're just going to share a bit about how they got here. How did you get to Grace Church is pretty much what they're going to share.
It took us 2 years, but I'm going to let my wife start first because she knows more than I do.
Get off the mic. Firstly, I just want to apologise. Ours will be a bit of an anticlimax because those testimonies are amazing. I've really been in tears. So why are me and Dan here? We have to rewind 18 months-ish, maybe a bit longer, nearly 2 years. In January 2018, we really heard the Holy Spirit saying this is a year of preparation. And we knew, the conviction was that he was going to prepare us to leave Basingstoke, where we used to live. So we just cracked on. We started preparing. We finished some DIY jobs in the house. Well, Dan did. I sort of told him what to do. We sort of just gradually started unwinding, withdrawing a little bit from some stuff we were doing in our old church, just gradually taking a step back, knowing that God was going to replant us somewhere else. In May 2018, we went to visit my sister in Perth, and in Australia, apparently, in case you need clarification on that. Oh, not the one in Scotland, in Australia. We actually went to visit a mega church, and the talk was Being in the Waiting. And it was amazing. It was like God had to remind us, he sent us to the other side of the world just to hear this preach. And it was incredible, and it really encouraged us to just keep waiting, and that God was going to move and he was going to show us what the next step was. So we came back from Australia. We carried on waiting. What does preparing to leave look like? We just did everything that we practically could think of. And then coming to the end of 2018, we thought, well, we need to go and look at houses if we're going to leave. I asked God, where should we live? And he said, where do you want to live? And I said, Chichester. I didn't even think about it. I just said Chichester because that's where Dan's from. We'd visited many times and I love it here. I thought, there's no way Dan's going to move back home. It's just not going to happen. So I tentatively asked him, what do you think of Chichester? And he was like, yeah, all right. Yeah. So that was like, that wrapped up 2018 for us, really. We'd kind of pinpointed where we wanted to go. So January 2019 comes around. We better go look for mortgages then, see what we can actually afford before we look at houses. And Dan had a very brief meeting with a mortgage advisor who basically said, you can't afford to buy the house you're currently living in. And we were living in a two-bed end of terraced house. We were pregnant with our third baby, so you know, it just didn't make any sense. And I just thought, oh God, what is going to happen? We can't even afford the house we currently live in. This is nuts. So Dan said a very practical prayer. He said, God, in order for us to move into a bigger house, I need X salary. And 8 weeks later, Dan had a promotion with quite a nice pay rise, which meant we got the mortgage. We then found the house that we're currently living in. That was a miracle in itself. It was a random junk email that came into my inbox. And instead of just deleting it, it was this one email. I thought, oh, I'm just going to read it. And it was a new build, and we don't like new builds, so I was just going to delete it again, and I didn't. I kept clicking in, and it was for a new build estate in Eastergate, and we actually quite liked it. Went to visit this sort of show house. And anyway, that was the house that we ended up with. So the sales process of our house in Basingstoke was quite straightforward. And we actually ended up just packing up all our stuff and leaving Basingstoke without the sale actually having gone through. That was obviously quite a nerve-wracking time for us, but we just stepped out in faith that this is ultimately what God was telling us to do. And it felt a little bit just like jumping off a cliff. the sale hadn't completed, it might fall through. We ended up living with Dan's parents for 2 months, which they probably enjoyed as much as we did. It was nice. Yeah, and the sale did go through after 2 months of living with his mum and dad. And here we are. God's faithfulness, his provision, he's just so good. And that's why we're here, because 18 months ago, we didn't have a clue.
We didn't. We just knew that we were being uprooted. We had no idea where we would go or when. Never did I dream, being from Chichester, that I'd end up come to church in Bognor Regis. But God has a sense of humour, but we love it here. And you know, thank you for welcoming us. For me, following that talk of In the Waiting, the preacher was talking about King David, that he said no experience is wasted. Like, even though he tended sheep in the wilderness for years and years and years, that ultimately prepared him to look after people being king. And so, you know, I had to get off my backside and actually do something about, you know, and for me, that actually meant changing career path. And so I had to sort of retrain, do a lot of exams, do a lot of self-study and learn on the job. And so actually, in that preparation, God kind of oversaw it, and he just gave me a word and said, you know, you will have the right behaviours and success and to enable you to move and do things. And actually, you know, 18 months ago when I switched career paths, God has just like promoted us twice, and I'm starting a new job in 2 weeks, and it's his faithfulness. And I love reading Psalm 100 because it ends with, "For God is good, his love endures forever, and his faithfulness continues for all generations." The faithfulness that other people have testified to today, we can testify about. And our children have seen that, and our children's children, we hope, will go on to see the faithfulness we've experienced. And we can't choose the situations we're in, but we can choose how we respond. And actually, one thing that we've learned so much is choosing joy, because in God's presence there's fullness of joy, and choosing to praise. Whatever situation you're in, like, choose to praise and just worship your way through it, because that's how we've coped and done it. So God is good.
He is faithful. God is so faithful. We're going to have another video. We've got Ray and Beryl. So Ray and Beryl, they did tons, to be honest, in our church. They serve us so well. You'll probably see them either by tea and coffee or by the admin desk quite often. Unfortunately, they can't be here this morning. They are going to just share something of what God's doing with the work they do in the Ukraine. We are part of a bigger thing, and so God's done some good stuff in the Ukraine, and they just wanted to share that this morning. So here's a little bit about what they wanted to say about that.
In Ukraine, over 1.5 million people have fled the east since the invasion. Many left with just the clothes on their backs and whatever they could carry. The Charity Red Trust provides finances for humanitarian aid to those in the eastern occupied area, as well as those who have fled. So food, clothes, medicines and shelter have all been needed. We work with trustworthy pastors whose churches have social programs to provide these refugees with this aid. Our mission statement is, "Share your bread with the hungry," from Isaiah 58, verse 7. We endeavour to share our resources with the poor and hungry so that lives are saved and changed. Many have found hope and a new life, not just in the physical, but also in the spiritual.
In Zambia, the charity is involved in resourcing Foundations for Farming training and follow-up. Foundations for Farming teaches people to grow their own food. They follow the godly principles of being on time, doing it to a high standard, with no waste, and with joy. Through this program, many have come to know that God loves them and provides for their needs. They have not only been able to feed their families, but also able to send their children to school and to have a future. We have provided seeds, tools, and bicycles. The bicycles enable those managing the program to travel to trainees to monitor and encourage them. They have been able to see the joy that having a good harvest can bring.
In both countries, the charity encourages self-sufficiency and on occasions has bought tools for people. There is a saying, Give a man a fish and you feed him for a day. Teach him to fish and you feed him for life. One pastor we bought tools for was so thankful. He showed us the tools and photos of some of his brilliant work. He no longer had to borrow anyone else's tools, and this enabled him to work more efficiently. He had been able to feed not just his family and support his church, but has helped two other struggling churches with their social action programs.
People's lives are being turned around, and they've been given hope and an awareness that God loves and cares for them. In one elderly people's day centre, where we had taken food parcels, an old man stayed behind and with tears in his eyes said, "Thank you. We thought nobody cared."
God's doing a really, really good thing out in the Ukraine, and then Rambo are a part of that, and it's so good as a church to also be part of that. Earlier, I was reading from Ephesians, and I said, "To him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever." So we're going to have our youngest person sharing with us this morning. We've got Tilly Groves. She's going to share. Am I right in thinking that it's not just this year? So we've let her off a little bit because of her age, we'll let her off. Because 2 years feels like a year, does it? Yeah, let's go with that. Here you go.
Thank you. Hi, I'm Tilly, as Johnny already said. And my stories, from quite a while ago in primary school. It stretched over a course of quite a while, like quite a few years, through most of primary in my old school. And so in primary about year two, I had a lot of issues with friendships. I was in quite a toxic friendship group, but I didn't really realise it. I didn't really notice because I was quite young. I am still younger. And I didn't recognise sort of the effect the group was having on me or what kind of impact it was having on my work. And I didn't really realise that we were making each other quite upset a lot of the time. And I thought this was just normal. I just thought, okay, every friendship group argues like all the time. This is normal. It's okay. But it continued to get worse over year three when a new girl joined. And it started to become something I was worrying about every day. Like, I started not wanting to go to school. I was like, I'm going to get hurt by my friends. I'm going to hurt my friends. We're going to get angry at each other. Everything's going to end up really bad. We're going to cause chaos. It kind of got to a point where I was like, right, okay, I just have to take a deep breath, go into school every day, try my best just to enjoy myself and not think about the negative impact that this group is going to have. And one day when I had a particularly bad day, after school I talked to my mum and we prayed together and I was like, okay, something's going to happen straight away. Something's just going to miraculously happen. It will all be okay. But nothing happened. So I was kind of just there like, okay, do I just wait? So we would keep praying. I would try to find some other friends, but not a lot of the other people in the class weren't very nice. So I just had to keep waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting until in year four, a new girl joined again, and she joined our group, and I thought, oh, yeah, God's finally answered my prayer. You know, this is going to sort everything. We could form like a twosome. This is going to solve all my problems. Like, nothing bad is ever going to happen again. But it got worse. So I was just like, okay, I just keep praying. But still nothing happened through the course of the year. So at this point, I kind of just gave up. I forgot about praying to God. I just gave up. I thought, he doesn't want to help me. He doesn't love me. He's abandoned me. He just wants to see me suffer. So I just gave up. And I just continued to be in this group and just suffer with these friends. But a few weeks later, near the end of year four, we had a really bad argument, which ended up with me crying in the bathroom. And I just sat there, and I was just crying. And once again, I thought, okay, God doesn't love me. He doesn't want to help me. He's abandoned me. But sort of in the back of my mind, I sort of heard this little voice. It was kind of like, keep going. I love you so much. It's going to be okay. You've just got to get through this year. And I promise you, it will all be sorted. And then in year five, my parents found a new school with a place in year two for my brother, but there was no place in year five for me. So I had to wait even longer, because a while ago we had moved house from Chai, so we were trying to look for a new school anyway. And just that night when my parents had said, look, there was no place in year five, only in year two, I just prayed and I was like, please, Lord, please, can there be a space in this school, because things are not good in the school I'm in at the moment. I really need a change. I really just need this school to be open. And that very next day, I woke up in the morning and my mum came over to me to get me ready for school. And she was like, you're moving school. There's a place in year five. And I was like, yes. And I moved to that school. It was perfect. I had no friendship issues at all. A lot of the boys were nicer, so I could hang out with them as well. And I had no issues with students in the class. The class was really good. I got along with everyone. The teachers were really good. And it was such a good school, and I loved it so much, and I had so many good memories there. But it's quite funny, because now when I look back, I realise the little things that God changed that I didn't notice before, that I was kind of just like, okay, he's not doing anything. But I look back now and I'm like, actually, he did that there and he did that there, and that actually had an impact. And I realised that God never did once abandon me, and he helped me through the whole thing. So
that's great. Really good. God is at work, isn't he, through our lives. And we at Grace Church, we do a lot of stuff to serve the community, and I want to share with you something before the next person, because there's something you might not be aware of that we do. This was a thought that came to Danny Peskett, and she started just going with it. So we help her. We run a cafe in the centre of Bognor, primarily aimed to just for people just to walk into and come and meet and chat and get to know people, and it's just flying. Now, you might not be aware of this, but this they've got some people from Grace Church who are serving on it, and it is just going from strength to strength. She's done a fantastic, fantastic job in it. If you're interested in helping, she's quite picky with her people. But if you're interested, come and grab me, and I'll let her know. But she's going to share on video just what the amazing stories of just chatting to people and what's come through. So we're just going to hear from Danny.
Hello. So for those of you who don't know me, my name's Danny, and I was asked to give a testimony about the cafe that I started last year in April. I think most of you probably have read about the setup of the cafe in the Grace Life magazine, so I won't go over that again. I'll just give you an update of a couple of the stories and things that have been going on over the year. So we've had a few interesting people come along to the cafe. We also have a lot of regulars as well. It didn't quite work out as I thought it was going to. The initial idea was to create a safe space for young people to come off the streets just on a Saturday night, so they weren't messing around. It was cheap, it was fun, they were going to be safe with Christian people chatting to them. But actually, it's turned into something completely different. We get people of all ages. We've had people from sort of all over the country that have come from the train station and have just popped in, and we've met some really interesting characters. There was one guy who came in, and he came in because he noticed that the shop was called the Vineyard Fair Trade Shop at the time, and he thought, oh, that's a church, I'm going to go in there. And he came in and came up to the counter and he said, oh, I really need some help. And we said, oh, what do you need help with? And he said, well, you're a church, you help people, don't you? And we said, yeah, what is it we can help you with? And he sort of looked a bit shifty, and I said, oh, we'll take a seat and we'll have a chat. So we gave him some food and some drink, and as we chatted to him, we discovered that he had walked all the way to Bognor from Essex. And he'd had some kind of incident happen at home with his family, and he had to get out quickly, and he had nothing with him. He just had a rucksack and a tent and the clothes that he was wearing, and he'd basically walked and slept on the roads and in fields until he'd got to Bognor, but he needed to get to Bournemouth. So he said, look, he didn't specifically ask for anything. He just said, I need to get to Bournemouth. I'm sort of, you know, something's happened and I can't go into it, but is there any help you can give me? If not, I'll just be on my way. So we sort of discussed it and everything, and we ended up giving him the money for a train ticket just so he didn't have to walk all the way to Bournemouth. And he was really appreciative of that. But before he left as well, we just used the opportunity to pray for him and just pray protection over him as well. He wasn't a Christian. We spoke to him about that, but he obviously recognised the church as a place of people that would help and wanted to help. So, and the last story that I think is, for me, the most amazing thing that's happened this year started off because there was a little accident where the freezer door was left open one weekend, and the shop owner went in on the Monday and texted me and said, oh no, the freezer door's been left open all weekend and the ice cream's melted everywhere. All the stock that was in the freezer was just wrecked. And it was one of us that had left the door open. I thought, oh no, I feel really awful. So anyway, we went in the week after, and it was a week that was really, really busy. We had a quiz, so all the seats were taken, and we knew that we needed a lot of ice cream, but because of what had happened, it had all melted. We didn't have as much stock as we thought we had. So at about 6:30, we'd already run out of chocolate ice cream, and Jamie, who was there, just said to me, oh, do you want me to pop out and see if I can get some more ice cream? I'll just nip down to Morrison's. Anyway, it was sort of getting on a bit. He should have only sort of been 15 minutes or so, but sort of 40 minutes went past. And then Jamie ran back in the cafe and he was huffing and puffing. And he said, oh, I didn't get any chocolate ice cream. He said, Morrison's had sold out. He said, on my way to Morrison's, I came across a dead lady in the street. And basically, this lady had a cardiac arrest or something. She was on the floor. She wasn't breathing. Her friends were around her trying to resuscitate her, but weren't doing a great job. And Jamie, who's just started at the hospital, had just received his resus training, which is a mandatory training course that every hospital employee has to do. And he'd literally, you know, a few weeks or a month or so before, just gone on that training course. So he knew exactly what he had to do. And he just walked up to this woman and he bent down and he started doing compressions on her chest. And this lady started breathing again. He actually restarted her heart. And that is incredible. And he waited, got her on the ambulance, and then he came back to the cafe like an absolute hero. I know that these stories might sound sort of unsatisfying in the sense that they're incomplete. I don't know if the first guy ever got to Bournemouth. I don't know what happened with him. And we don't even know if that lady actually lived when she got to hospital. She was alive when she got on the ambulance, but we don't know what happened to her afterwards. But what I do know that even though we don't see the end of these people's stories and we're not seeing any fruits, I know that there would be no fruits if the seed wasn't first planted. So I just want to encourage anybody who's feels as though they've got a good idea and they're just worried that it might not be from God, or they think it's not good enough, or they just don't feel significant enough to do it. I just want you to know that actually, if you've got a good idea and your root intention is to serve and glorify God and tell people about him, he will honour that and he will answer any prayer that is a righteous prayer, and he will equip you with all the resources and he'll give you enough time. He'll give you everything that you need. He'll even give you the confidence to carry these things forward. And I just want you to not doubt that he will do it and have the faith, because even if you just feel like an ordinary person, that's good, because God loves working through ordinary people, because that is when his power is just shows its best. That is when his love and his power shows the best. And it just reminds me of that verse, I can't remember where it's from, where it says his power is made perfect through your weaknesses.
Just phenomenal stories, and Jamie, what a hero. I love that line. That's great. We're on to our last one. There are so many other stories which obviously we couldn't pack into to a morning like this. If you want to find out a little bit more about people's stories that they were sharing today, do go and grab them after if they're around. Go and speak to them. But we're going to have Mandy Nichols come up and share to finish off. Mandy's had a... Come on up. She's very nervous, but she's got nothing to be nervous about. Mandy's had a phenomenal year, an epic year, and she's just going to share a little bit about what's been up.
Thank you. I've been at work for the last 3 days, so I haven't had time to really write anything down or prepare, but seeing as it's my life, hopefully... I've been a Christian for quite a while, and I think I need to say this because the Lord God has just been amazing, just building a foundation with him, getting prepared. He's prepared me for this year. Looking back at, 2019 was massively, so much happened. But he'd prepared everything so that I could get through it, which is phenomenal. It all started off with my mother passing away, which I'd been saving up for a holiday anyway. So I had the financial means to get to South Africa. I didn't make it before she passed away, but I was there for her memorial service and to be there with my family, and it was really, really good. But when I got back, my husband left me, so that was a bit of a shock, and only with the Lord's grace and love and peace, I've managed to get through all the changes that had to come with that. I've had to move house. He's obviously surrounded me with amazing people from church, friends, who helped me move house, and I had to change jobs from nights to days, so it's been rough, but the most blessing year, because, I mean, I've seen his provision with people, with finances, with a flat. I mean, I have a dog. How many people have found a flat with a dog, you know, that allows dogs? But it was the first phone call I made, but it was after a prayer about how I need a flat, just the right size for my son and myself to live in, and a dog. So the first person I called, I just asked, do they accept dogs? And, I mean, they phoned me back within half an hour saying, do you want to have a look at it? So, I mean... That is just amazing, and that's the Lord working in through prayer. What else? My car last year also failed its MOT, and I had no money then to go and buy another car. And once again, I eventually gave him the problem. I said, I can't afford a car. I can afford a bicycle. This is what I'm going to do, but I'm going to leave it in your hands, Lord. And once again, he amazed me by finding someone who bought me a car, and someone else heard my testimony and just felt moved, and they paid for the insurance on the car. So literally, I was given a car for a year. I mean, it's just so amazing how he's provided for us. And without the foundation of him, I don't know how I would have coped. I mean, I've managed to have a really bad yet very blessed year, because I've managed to smile and laugh my way through, as well as getting through all the emotions. So I just want to give great thanks and praise to the Lord, because he is just so amazing.
We're going to get the band are going to come back up, and just what Mandy said at the end, it's all for God's glory. Everything that's shared, everything that's good that's happened in people's lives, everything that's tough that's happened in people's lives, it's all for God's glory. And in like they've been saying, in those moments, it just doesn't feel like it. It doesn't seem like it. It can't be. But God is faithful. God is good, isn't he? As like I said at the beginning, he can do immeasurably more than we could ever ask or imagine. Even if we think, oh, it should pan out like this. No, he's got immeasurably more than that. Let's stand. We're going to give God the glory. We're going to sing. We're going to worship. We're going to celebrate. Not for the things that God's just done in these people's lives. We're going to celebrate because Jesus has done the biggest thing for any of us. Jesus has won the victory that we could not win. And we're going to worship God this morning. Cool.